Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Forever 35, a podcast about the things we do to take care of ourselves. I'm Kate Spencer.
And I'm Dori Shafrir.
And we aren't experts.
But we are two friends who like to talk a lot about serums.
And this is a mini episode where we hear from you, we share your comments and thoughts, and answer your questions to the best of our tender ability.
And do please remember, we are not experts. We're podcast hosts.
That's right.
We always encourage you to seek support first and foremost from a doctor and or mental health professional as needed.
And if you want to reach us, our voicemail number is 781-591-0390. Or you can email us at forever35podcast@gmail.com. And we sure do love hearing from you.
We really do.
So don't hesitate.
Yeah. Don't be a stranger.
Yeah.
And don't get any stranger.
Was that something people say?
Yeah.
I definitely would urge people to get stranger.
I know.
Especially, I would say, me. Like, we got to keep getting weirder,
That's
right?
That's true.
Okay.
Shall we listen to a voicemail?
We shall.
All right. Here we go.
Kate and Dori, I had to call because, you know, that feeling when somebody references something and you just are like, oh my God, I love that too. When you referenced Flowers in the Attic, I died. I love that book series. I read it way too young. And I started with Garden of Shadows because that book was just like laying around the house. And so I sympathize deeply with the grandmother going into that series, which I think was a unique experience. But then later in the episode, you also referenced Singles. And when you played the dating video, I died again. So I just love you so much. I feel so very much a part of your world. I'm 37, and it's just, I work with people now that are not even that much younger than me, but I referenced Jordan Catalano the other day and had to blank stares, and I didn't even know what to do. Anyways, love you so much. I'm obsessed with the show. I listen all the time. Thank you for referencing the important things in this world. Love you. Bye.
Oh, I love you so much. Can you imagine referencing Jordan Catalano and being met with blank stares?
Well, yeah.
I guess you did. That's happened to you?
I mean, yeah, this is what happens when you work with people who are younger. And like, no disrespect, but
no, they've got their own
they
Jordan
have their
Catalano.
Own things. And when you're met with that blank stare, you're just like, oh my God. I remember I like probably like 10 years ago, more than 10 years ago, I was tutoring a kid who I was helping him with his college essays, and I referenced Cyndi Lauper, blank stare. And what? I was like, what? Yeah.
We got a listener email that was directed at me, so I'm happy just to take this one for
Please
the team here.
Do.
They start by saying, I am currently listening to the latest app while enjoying an Epsom salt bath, and the experience is just delightful.
Ooh, I'm bringing myself mentally to that place.
Too, but don't you love that someone in a bath is like relaxing to our voices?
Yes.
That is an honor.
It is.
I wanted to chime in about Kate and her relationship with her phone. Oh, hello. I'm wondering if you could cross over some of what you're learning about being intuitive and non-judgmental with your food and apply it to your phone. Maybe instead of setting rigid rules, which might lead to a phone binge, you could try just checking in with yourself as you use your phone to see how you feel, what you want, and what you need. It's definitely not as comfortable as having a rule you know you stuck to, but it is more realistic long term, and it sounds like you're already a very intuitive mother, so you already know how to trust your gut. For me, growing up in a perfectionistic household, I've always struggled to let go of a rigid standard and just trust myself. My own journey with intuitive eating is just one part of that. Also, I'm a therapist, and one of the things I tell my clients and myself is that recovery and growth aren't a straight line, but an upward spiral, like a perfect spiral curl that we wore around our faces in the 90s. Very Carrie Russell.
Another 90s reference.
Listen, again. It's moving upward, but it still has little dips that might make you feel like you're right back where you started, but you're not.
Ooh. I love this email.
Yeah, that was so, it was very helpful. And I will say that I do think what I've have been learning in the intuitive eating journey has come into play in other parts of my life. That makes, I mean, that happens with anything,
yeah,
right?
Totally.
And I am, we'll talk more about this on a full length episode probably, but I am trying to trust myself a little bit, knowing like what works for me with my phone and what doesn't, and not being too rigid about it.
Well, I just took Facebook and Twitter off my phone.
Oh, interesting, Dory. And what was the reasoning behind that? I don't know if I've ever heard you say that you've done that before.
I've done it a couple times, but it's not like a regular thing that I do. You know, I just felt like, especially Facebook, I was spending a lot of time on Facebook, just kind of, you know,
milling about
in my various groups.
Window shopping.
Yeah. And I was like, this is a time suck. So I took it off my phone. I've only been looking at Facebook on my computer, which has been nice for the last few days.
Do you miss it?
Sometimes. Like you start to realize that scary thing where you have like muscle memory of going to the place on your phone where Facebook lives.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, and then I'm like, oh, guess I'll read the New York Times.
Right. And that doesn't sat. It doesn't satiate in the same way.
I'm like, these are the same stories that were on here 15 minutes ago.
That's what taking Twitter out of my life has been like, where it's like, oh, I guess I'll just go look at news.
But, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and also, I mean, this always happens when I take Twitter off my phone, is like, you only realize the things that people are like outraged about on Twitter. You only learn about the things that have like truly risen to like the mainstream media, like how yesterday or the day before people were really upset about Equinox and SoulCycle and the guy who, you know, is an investor in them hosting a Trump fundraiser. And like, I read about it, I think in the New York Times. And then much later when I like looked on Twitter on my computer, I saw like people have been upset about this all day.
Right. And you didn't gather that whole,
no,
the Twitter outrage. Just,
yeah.
But you did read about it and you
were
up on it.
I was. I don't know. Anyway, more to come on that.
Oh, well, look at you and your journey.
We're all on a journey.
We are all just journeying along. We have another voicemail.
We do.
That I feel like we'll be especially applicable to your journey. Is this episode just called Journeys?
Wasn't there like a mall store called Journeys?
Lane is nodding. Was it a fashion store or a music store? Fashion. There was a fashion store called
Journeys.
And I'm picturing the
logo.
Wow, that does not ring a bell for me.
Well,
again, this is a very 90s themed mini episode.
I'll have to show it to you. I don't know that it was a 90s store, but I will, I'll investigate that.
Okay.
Oh yeah. Journeys. It's like a skate store.
Like a Hot Topic, PacSun kind of vibe.
Yeah, I think so. Anyway, let's listen to this voicemail.
Hi, Kate and Dory. This is Maggie, a longtime listener. I wanted to recommend, since you are considering doing more vegetarian meals, that you check out 101cookbooks.com by Heidi Swanson. I've been following her since I was in college, which is, you know, almost 15 years ago. And she consistently puts out great vegetarian recipes that are unlike any other source that I have really encountered. And she also has a couple of excellent cookbooks. Supernatural Every Day was a really popular one a couple of years ago, and she's also coming out with a couple of new ones. So, a lot of the recipes are really simple, and others are a little more involved, but there's a little something for everyone, I think. So I really recommend that you check that out. Thanks.
I will be checking that out.
I definitely know that site, but I'm not sure if I've made anything off of it. So I too will be journeying over to 101 Cookbooks.
I just showed Kate the website for Journeys.
And there were Crocs on the front page.
They sell Crocs. So I think you'll be making a trip to Journeys.
I may be 40 soon, but I am a youth.
Maybe the Glendale Galleria, I feel like.
I can find one. Yeah. We live in the Valley. Yes. There's a mall on every corner.
That's true.
Even though it's 2019. I'm excited to do. I've been doing a little bit more vegan and vegetarian cooking.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And for myself and also for my children, hit or miss. But I'm kind of interested in like digging in a little bit more with it.
I'm excited for you.
Well, thanks. I mean, I'll cook you something.
Great. I'm still eating vegetarian.
This has been a long stretch.
Yeah.
Is it the, you've never dabbled in vegetarianism really
no,
before,
I have.
Right? You have?
Mm-hmm.
Is this the longest you've ever gone?
Good question. I mean, I didn't eat meat for like 7 years or something.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But
you were a pesky.
But yeah. And I ate chicken.
Okay.
And then I was briefly vegetarian, but not really. So anyway,
well, we will definitely check that out. Thank you so much for the recommendation. All right, we have one more voice.
Yeah, let's listen to it.
Hi, this is Shauna. I actually am from the Boston area. I'm about 30 minutes north of Boston, and I was calling to respond to someone who emailed about their hands working in healthcare. So I am a speech language pathologist, and I work in a hospital. So I treat primarily swallowing disorders, and I also wash my hands about 30 times a shift. And when I first started working, my cuticles would crack and my hands would get really dry, and they started to look like wrinkled and very old. So what I did was I went to the store and I bought some working hands, which is like a generic cream that you can get at Target. And I also mixed in a little bit of like an anti-wrinkle cream. I think I have the Pacifica one, and would use that every night, year round. And that really helped. In the winter, I also put Aquaphor around my cuticles to prevent them from drying and cracking. And that's a godsend. And if they're really dry, definitely also use lotion gloves. I hope this helps. And I love the podcast, and I look forward to future episodes. All right. Love you guys. Bye.
Do you think she lives in Andover?
Look, I mean, anywhere up 93.
I love this game.
Truly the day I await is the day we get to do a live recording of this podcast in Boston.
Oh yes.
I mean, I'm just going to be referencing dated Boston references the
totally.
Whole time. Jam scams.
Same. That's why when like people ask me for Boston recs for today, I'm like, I can give you advice for like 1995.
Yeah, we got nothing. But our listeners, I'm sure, in the Boston area have amazing recommendations.
Yeah.
My hands are really bugging me right now.
Mm.
So just like dry. And I took off my, what's that stuff called? The polish I had on, why am I blanking?
Your powder dip?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so now my nails are just not really that happy.
Yeah, I haven't been wearing polish. I mean, you talked about this before for a while. But cuticle maintenance is an issue for me.
Yeah, mine are just kind of dry and hurting. So I feel like a regular routine, even though I'm not. I mean, I can't imagine washing your hands 30 times a shift.
Yeah.
Not even 30 times a day, but
that's no joke.
Yeah, that is, whew.
Mm.
Anyway, I love it. We got a lot of interesting hand
we did.
Cream recommendations, so keep them coming.
Yeah, thank you all.
Especially as winter approaches.
Indeed.
Well, Dory,
let's take a short
break. Let's pause it up.
All right.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I like to care for my skin, duh. And It's also something that I do love to kind of like get into the research on.
You do have a curious mind.
Look, I have a curious mind. I can't help it.
You do.
But today's sponsor, OneSkin, has made that easy because they do their own fantastic research for their products. In fact, their products are scientifically validated to improve your skin's health while targeting the root cause of aging. The secret is OneSkin's proprietary OS1 peptide. It's the first ingredient proven to switch off the aging cells that cause lines, wrinkles, and thinning skin, and they've got several studies to back it up. They also have an amazing new sunscreen.
Ooh, our favorite.
Our fave. It's the OS1 Shield Protect and Repair SPF 30 Plus. It's got the peptide. It's a mineral sunscreen. It's got antioxidants. It comes in tinted and untinted. I mean, like, what can't this thing do? I'm just saying. I love it. It's so easy to use, and I love that it's just like zoop and it feels so nice going on. But don't take my word for it. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews and was recently recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands of 2024. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code FOREVER at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code FOREVER. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them, and please support your show and tell them we sent you.
Okay.
We're back. We got an email that really got me thinking. Mm-hmm. We haven't talked about this specific topic.
No, yet. We haven't. I was actually surprised about this.
So let's read the email and then let's just jump in. Shall I?
Yes.
Okay. I recently moved to a new town and the house I rent has really hard water. It makes my hair feel like it is coated in a thick wax. My hair looks absolutely awful. I feel I've exhausted the internet's recommendations for things like shower head filters and pouring apple cider vinegar over my head when I get out of the shower. Any advice from two LA ladies, a place with notoriously hard water? Reading this email was like a light bulb going off for me. Because I was like, you're right. This is my hair. I forget that we have really hard water. And whenever I travel, like when I recently was in San Diego and I washed my hair was like silky soft and I couldn't figure out what it was. It's like, maybe it's these travel products. And then like, duh, it was the water.
Yeah.
Hard water.
What is hard water?
It's water with a lot of minerals in it.
What are your suggestions for hard water?
Well, this was eye-opening to me because I realized that I often am like, why is my hair so waxy and weird feeling? Mm-hmm. And listener, I understand your pain and I realized I haven't really been tackling it. So I did a little Googling. And I will say, I don't know if this listener has purchased a shower head filter or is just sick of hearing that recommendation, but that is the number one recommendation for hard water that I found. And then also getting a specific shampoo. One that was recommended was this Malibu hard water shampoo.
Ooh.
And then using a deep conditioner with it. I think they also make a conditioner. And this also seems like stuff people use when they swim a lot. to help their hair from being in the pool. But what I read about these kind of hard water shampoos is you use them sparingly. It's not like an everyday thing, maybe a once a week. Now, referencing the apple cider vinegar rinse, this listener said they're, now, I don't know if this is kind of a joke, if they're pouring it over their head when they get out of the shower, but I believe apple cider vinegar does really help with buildup, but you got to rinse it out. I think you can leave it on and rinse it out. Now, I grabbed, because I used this today after reading this email yesterday, this apple cider vinegar hair mask that I have.
Oh.
That we actually got in a FabFitFun box.
Oh, that's right.
That we keep in my shower. It's by DP Hue. It's an apple cider vinegar hair mask. Now, I believe it really more helps with like deep conditioning, but I've used it a couple times. We'll see. And
your hair does look nice.
Well, thank you. It's still drying, but you know, we'll see what happens. I also read, and this seems very like a lot of work, washing with like a jug of distilled water. So when like, you know, shower regularly, but when you are washing your hair, grab a jug of distilled water or spring or from the grocery store
and pour it over your head
and wash with that. And I think that would work with your suggestion, which was wash your hair less.
Yeah.
So maybe if you're washing once or twice a week, you use the jug.
Interesting.
It seems like a lot of effort to jug wash your hair.
It does.
But look, if you're really hating how your hair is looking because of this water.
Yeah. Give it a shot.
I would also say, like, in your community, I would ask around for what people do. Like, now I'm very curious.
Maybe ask on Nextdoor.
God. You know, proceed with caution on the Nextdoor app, but sure, ask there. On that note, we digress. I will say, this is a great spot for listener tips. Hard water.
Oh, yeah.
Talk to us.
Yeah.
Because we need to know what you all are doing with your hard water situations out there.
Should I read this next email?
Yes, please.
All right. I'm writing with a question about writing, how meta, or more generally about rediscovering your creativity after a few years spent doing more menial work. I'm a 36-year-old writer and mom of two kids, ages 1 and 4. After being laid off 2 years ago, I started doing freelance writing, which has mostly included digital marketing, writing content aimed at getting website clicks and social media follows. It keeps me busy and paid, for which I'm very, very grateful, but it's not very fulfilling. To add to that, I had my second child about 18 months ago, and for financial reasons, opted not to send him to daycare as an infant. That means I've been cramming my work in during naps, or after bedtime, which has made me feel even less engaged with writing. It's just been something I need to finish quickly before the baby wakes up. Now that my son is getting older and joining his big brother in daycare, I feel like I'm at a turning point. I desperately want to rediscover my passion for writing, but I feel like I've forgotten how to tap into my creativity. I don't even know what I want to write about, but I know that I miss the act of writing for myself without a deadline, just to write. Have either of you experienced this? Return to writing or any creative venture after time doing less meaningful work? How did you rediscover your creativity? I have mentioned this before, but get thee to the artist's way.
I was going
to
say morning pages.
Yes.
So
that's like what the artist's way was written for.
Okay. So back up. If let's explain if to listeners who have never heard of the artist's way, what it is.
Okay. I mean, I've definitely mentioned it on the podcast.
True. But you know, it not is everybody a book hears every episode.
Written by a woman named Julia Cameron. And it is basically just about exactly what you're talking about. Like rediscovering your creativity, rediscovering your writing. One of her big things is doing morning pages where you wake up and you write in longhand for 15 minutes. And I did this many years ago and it really helped. So I would recommend it. Yes.
Did you do the whole Artist Way program or just morning pages?
I did the first few chapters. There's a lot of also like excavation stuff that she has you go through that I also found really helpful. So
I love one of the practices of Artist Way that I really love. I've never really successfully completed it, but I've read the book, is taking yourself out on a date by yourself with no other person in a space that's like not like you don't go right as your date, like go to a museum, go explore a new park, go to a concert. It's a really like I found going to museums by myself.
Yeah.
Because I don't work in any sort of like fine art or multimedia art, but that's just, I don't, do that, but it still is really invigorating and exciting and inspiring to go see.
Yeah, totally.
So I feel like experiencing other creativity that is outside of the medium that you work in might be really helpful. I've also have had talked to a lot of writers who write fanfic or have mm-hmm. written fanfic and or have been writing something and the way they phrase it is like, I was just writing this for myself for fun. Like they didn't put any pressure on it. It was just like a fun thing they were doing. And that became a book for them.
That's how I started my novel.
You were just writing for fun?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think like if you can find something that's just for you, mm-hmm. like what do you really like? What gives you the tingles?
Mm.
You know?
Yeah. What gives you the wringle dingles?
The wringle tingle dingles?
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, just something that no one has to see.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like you're writing the next great novel.
You might be.
I mean, it could be, but I'm just saying like...
But yeah, don't put that pressure on yourself.
No. And fanfic is fun because you already have so much of the information.
Yeah.
That you then get to take these characters that you know really well and do really fun things with them. Totally. So if you have a thing that you love, fanfic it up. And then there's also community.
Yeah.
You know, other writers.
Yeah. Good luck.
It's hard. Yeah. It's hard. Like kids or no kids, it's hard to constantly find that creative spark. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I think it just takes like, take a break from it.
Yeah. But I think like the flip side also mm-hmm. is there is something to be said for just writing without worrying about quality and kind of just getting back into the practice, which I think is what Julia Cameron is really talking about when she suggests doing morning pages.
I mean, Bird by Bird.
Yeah.
By Anne Lamott. I mean, we've definitely also recommended that before, but it's such a great book on just like the slog of writing.
Totally.
And Shitty First Drafts is an iconic part of that book that will just, you know, just write garbage. Who cares?
Keep us posted.
Yeah.
Let's take another short break.
Let's do it.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love. And be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.
Okay, so... should we listen to a voicemail?
Dory, you know I always want to listen to a voicemail.
Let's do it.
Hi, Kate and Dory. My name is Allison, and I love the podcast. I'm not 35 or even close. I'm not even 25. But I just had something up in the fact that I would love some tips on. I thought my job, where it is going very well. It was my first job out of college, and it seems like there's going to be a lot of changes to the job because we just got bought. By a large and successful company, but it still seems like everyone's a little nervous about change like this. And since this is my first job, my first real girl job, I don't really know what to expect. And I am kind of just facing a lot of anxiety about change, which is something I don't really remember to take care of myself during. So how do you take care of yourself when things become really uncertain? And how do you focus on the good things while still trying to make sure that you're doing as best as you can in a very shifting landscape. So love the podcast. Keep it up. Thank you. Bye.
That first job anxiety is so real.
Well, it's really scary.
Yeah.
Especially with a big corporation.
Yep.
You I mean, or a small corporation, your job security is never 100%. Mm-hmm. And not having control over that is really terrifying. Knowing that you could lose a position and your finances could be, I mean, it's just.
But I think that's just it. Like focusing on the things you can control is going to bring you some peace, I think.
I mean, for me, the biggest thing is like making sure that you, that saving money so that if you were ever to lose your job, you have.
An emergency fund.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I do think that is really important. And that was not something I was thinking about at 22. Mm-hmm. Even $10 a month. I mean, just putting something away doesn't need to be thousands and thousands of dollars.
Yeah, no.
Realistically, like, you know, our incomes aren't equipped for that. But yeah, that I don't think that's a fear that ever changes.
Yeah.
You know, I imagine someone who is 60 in your position would feel the same way. It's just hard and it kind of stinks. But I would say, you know, this sounds so hacky, but like just like focus on the present, because mm-hmm. you can't, because imagining all the scenarios exactly. that could come doesn't ultimately do you. I mean, being prepared, I think, is different than like letting yourself
spiral.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so just, you know, focusing on the day to day and trying to, I think also trying to like not make your job your life is really key.
Yeah. I was going to say, try to have a separation between your job. Like when you go home, try to leave your job at work.
Yeah.
To the extent that you can.
Because I do think when you are fully existing only in your job, your social life, you're always there. Like then when, if that's taken away from you, it's jarring no matter what when you lose a job. But it's, I feel like it's must be very, very hard when.
I mean, I saw that happen at BuzzFeed.
I'm sure.
With, you know, because we hired so many young people and it was their first job and they were around so many other young people. So they all, it was their social life, it was their dating life, it was their work life. And then if they got laid off or got fired, I mean, their whole world kind of crumbled.
Yeah.
It was really hard. So, yeah.
Anyway, good luck. That's really hard.
Yeah.
We empathize. We have one final email. That is very long.
Yes.
And I thought about like, you know, just reading certain parts, but it's kind of, you kind of have to experience the whole thing.
I know.
So should we just go for it?
Yeah, let's just do it.
Okay. I'll start it.
Great.
3 years ago, I met a man who is my total opposite on OkCupid. Let's call him Oscar. When Oscar and I met, he did not have a job. He did not have a license. He did not have health insurance. I was 37 at the time, working as an assistant to a producer ready to settle down. And so 1 month into dating, I very clearly told Oscar that I liked him very much, but I could not be with a man who did not have a job or a license or health insurance. I remember the conversation like it was yesterday. I spoke it tenderly as we finished off ice cream. Oscar didn't get defensive, but he assured me that those were things he wanted for himself, and he somehow convinced me to stay. So what exactly did I see in Oscar to make me want to stay? He was kind, non-judgmental, creative, and fun. He was an amazing gardener and owned a home in Los Angeles, which he inherited from his grandmother. He was talented at investments and stocks, a fellow film enthusiast, and most importantly, he was relaxed and gave great massages. Our chemistry was off the charts. I held Oscar at arm's length for a good part of our relationship. Then he got a job and a car and health insurance, and my fears started to melt away. We went on a cross-country road trip together, fell in love, and became engaged a little over a year ago. Currently, we are living happily together in his home and have yet to set a wedding date. I think both Oscar and I are okay with that. We are still settling in together. But I have to admit, I still feel the weight of our oppositeness. I pretty much always go to sleep before 11 p.m. while Oscar's often up watching TV until 2 a.m. When I wake up and have my tea, Oscar's usually in bed. We have opposite days off as I work Monday through Friday while he works retail hours. Lots of weekends and weekdays off. I am fastidiously neat while Oscar is messy. I am ambitious about pursuing a career as a screenwriter and novelist. Oscar has little ambition outside of occasional trips to commerce to play poker. Did I mention he's really good at poker and that casinos scare me? We have worked on many of our issues together. We have done couples counseling, talked endlessly about how to reach a compromise, and I have to say, Oscar does a much better job at cleaning up after himself now and not falling asleep on the sofa. But still, I wonder, am I with the right one? Because we are opposites, the attraction and chemistry is strong, but our relationship has been anything but easy. I'm curious, Dory and Kate, have your relationships been on the easier end? Do you wake up with your husbands and have coffee together each morning? Do you fall asleep together at night? How did each of you know you were with the right one? Sincerely, lost in love in Los Angeles.
There's a lot to unpack in this email.
Unzip that away suitcase.
That duffel bag. Well, first of all, I wanted to say that I identified with a lot of what you wrote, because in a lot of the ways that you and Oscar are different, Matt and I are also different. And I saw a world where, like, you know, because when Matt moved to LA, he was working at the Apple store. Mm-hmm. And I saw a world where, like, he never got any sort of break in the industry, and he still worked at the Apple store. And you know what I mean? Like, still kind of led the same life.
Yeah. Retail hours.
Yeah. Retail hours.
Retail hours are tough. I've worked a lot of retail.
Yeah. But, you know, he also likes to stay up late watching TV or playing video games or whatever. He also likes to play poker.
That's right. This
he's also really good at poker.
He loves poker.
He doesn't give massages, but. You know, anyway,
there's still time.
I don't want to lie. Like, I think it is tough. You know, sometimes I feel like Matt and I don't have a lot in common, and that can be difficult. So I don't want to, like, downplay the fact that that is difficult. But I also think, like, you need to kind of figure out what's important to you in the relationship. Mm. Like, it sounds to me like maybe some of these things that you bring up, maybe these are the important things to you in the relationship, like waking up with your husband and having coffee together each morning. That is, like, not as important to me. But maybe it is important to you, and that's what you should think about.
Or could you just say, hey, once a week, can we have coffee in the morning together? Let's make a time. Oscar sounds like he's great at compromising.
Yeah, it does.
My feeling after reading this was kind of like, I think if it's okay with you that you are opposites, like, great. Not everybody's relationship looks the same. And the way we all work together as partners with a person, if we're in a, you know, a partnership in that way, looks the same. And I guess my question for you is, like, but what are, like, this listener, you listed off a lot of things, I think, that you worry about your opposites in a certain way, but, like, what do you have in common? Are you both kind people? Mm-hmm. Like, do you and both enjoy laughing together? It sounds like you went on this road. Like, I bet you have other things that bring you together that make you connected and in love and have the chemistry you have. I think sometimes, like, we get caught up in this, like, opposites attract myth, but also there's a reason why you are compatible with this person. And I also have to say, like, I think, and again, I don't want to tell you whether or not to stay in your relationship or if this person is quote unquote the one, although I do say, like, the one.
I feel like I can't tell from this email whether you might have maybe an unrealistic impression of what marriage is.
Well, I guess for me, it's like, does this person treat you with respect? Do they see the whole you and support that and honor it? Do they make you laugh? Like, do they listen to you? Do they sometimes challenge you?
It sounds like all these things happen.
Yeah. And those to me are going to be the things that make your relationship strong and last.
Yeah.
You know, the stuff like work schedule and having coffee together, like, that's going to change over time possibly. But is this person the person that you would step up if you were in a crisis?
Right. And I think also, Kate, what you said before about vocalizing the things that are important to you is really important.
And,
like, I've definitely done that in my marriage. Said, like, hey, you know, we need to have a date night or whatever. So I think that's important.
Also, I will say that you did bring up to this person, I like that you were like, I really like you, but I need to be with somebody who has these things. And then
he did them.
He did it. So he kind of said, I mean, I don't know Oscar, obviously, but he sounds like kind of a solid dude.
Yeah, I agree.
And, you know, some of this stuff it's okay if you want to be a novelist and be ambitious and that's just not who he is, as long as that's okay for you.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know if you're as lost in love as you think you are. You might be right where you need to be.
Oh, well, look at you.
I don't know. Good luck, caller. I know it's hard. Relationships are never easy. For the record, my husband and I have coffee together each morning, but I'm like shuffling around and he's doing the New York Times crossword.
You know, Matt and I used to have coffee together because we would walk to Starbucks with the dog.
That's nice. That's nice.
But I stopped drinking coffee. Well, so
you better start again. Do you fall asleep together each night?
Well, now we do because he's working again.
Got it.
When he's not working, he stays up till like two or three in the morning.
I'm normally in bed a little earlier most nights. Yeah.
But now we don't wake up together because he wakes up earlier than I do.
Yeah. See, it's always in flux, you know?
It is.
Well, look, we could talk about our partners forever.
But don't make us.
They wouldn't like that either, I don't think.
No.
But thank you so much, as always, for entrusting us with your questions about hard water, hard relationships, hard jobs.
Yeah.
Hard cuticles. Mm-hmm. So hard. Okay. On that note.
Goodbye.
Bye.